Let's follow in a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, it is a privilege to be here in this place of worship in this morning hour. We thank you for each one who has gathered with us, that we may together, in one accord, with one heart, and with one voice, as we have sung the hymns, Lord, as we have prayed unto you for the needs and thanksgiving, for the many blessings that you have given us and others, we pause at this time to reflect upon your word, and we would ask, Lord, that as we turn into it, that it would be our guide and our stay, and that we would never get tired of, nor bored with, nor consumed by other things, so we do not have time to reflect upon the word of God. And as we look into it this morning, Lord, we ask a blessing upon it, and each one who hears it, that we may be doers of the word, and not just listeners to it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Beautiful fall day. Such a nice change of weather. I enjoy the coolness. I enjoy the beauty of the trees. The bugs are basically gone, and it's just very pleasant out there. Pleasant in such a nice way that there is much to be thankful for. And we could think about winter, but we'll not use this as a prelude to that, but enjoy the day for indeed what it is. If you've picked up your bulletin with the insert, for note-taking or reference, as you so choose. We're going to continue with the study in Mark, this time chapter 4. But before jumping into that chapter, I would like us to read a passage from Isaiah. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, you're probably familiar with this because God is calling Isaiah, and I want to start at the 8th verse and go through the 13th. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go, and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be waste without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten. As a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Jesus quotes that passage in the 4th chapter of Mark, and I'd like to read that chapter at this time. And he, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and it became, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded, it yielded no fruit. And other fell in the good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear, for with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves and beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I've read the entire chapter. I want to take just a moment to review some of the things that we've already learned in the first couple of chapters of Mark, where Jesus' ministry was set forth. And as I indicated at least a couple of times, the Gospel of Mark is typically has been written for the people who did not walk with Jesus in the time of his appearance on earth. It was written to people that were outside of Palestine. And the focus was on Jesus' actions more so than just his words. The words needed to be said, of course, but then action was expected to be taken on those words. And we have the story of John the Baptist, where the way was prepared for Jesus' coming, where John talked not only to his disciples, but to all of the people, including the Jewish leaders of the time, repent and be baptized and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. We're also told the story of Jesus being baptized and his temptation in the wilderness. We learned about Jesus' ministry starting in Galilee. And he also taught, as John the Baptist did, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John could say that referring to Jesus, but Jesus was the one prophesied, and Jesus was the one who could say, indeed, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here now with you. Jesus called four of the fishermen, and he also called Levi, and he did a good deal of healing in those early days. We had the story of the man with the unclean spirit. We had Jesus cleansing a leper. He healed a crippled man as his four friends let him down through the roof. We had Jesus' various teachings, and he taught us about fasting. And he taught us about being Lord of the Sabbath. And he even healed on the Sabbath day. Much of Jesus' teaching did not occur in the synagogue proper, but occurred on the mountainside. And more recently, in the sea, where he sat in the boat, as we have in today's story, and talked. The nice thing about that was that he wouldn't get crowded in and pushed back into the sea, and the sound would carry out nicely as the shore would rise up in somewhat of an amphitheater kind of situation, and people could hear Jesus teach them from the seashore. So not all of his teaching was formal teaching in the synagogue, but rather it was for all of the people, not just those who could get a place in the synagogue, but for anybody who followed, Gentiles as well as Jews. And we know that he had a multitude of these followers. He chose the 12 apostles and set them up for their work that they were to do. And when he was challenged, as he was many times, Jesus always had words for his accusers. And we had the story of him being accused of being in league with the devil, with Beelzebub, casting out devils from people. And Jesus said, How can a house divided stand? And proved to them that it was not possible, even logically, that he should be in cahoots with the devil when in fact he would be destroying the things that the devil stood for. And then lastly, Jesus talked about his disciples as family. At the end of that story with the crippled, the paralytic man who was let down through the roof and the house was full of people, outside were some people who had called into Jesus saying, Your mother and brothers are here. They want to speak with you, or they want to give you some relief from the crowds and take you home. And Jesus looks around at the people around him, the disciples and the healed paralytic and others, and he says, Who is my mother And who are my brethren? You, these are my mother, and these are my brethren. In today's lesson, we have a story that continues Jesus, where he talks about being at the seaside. We're told that he's at the seaside again, and that he began to teach them there. And we're told again that there was a great multitude that followed him, so much so that he entered into that ship that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, and he sat in it. The Jewish teachers sat and taught. They don't stand like we stand and teach. They sat and taught. And he did that from the ship, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And that's the issue that I want to focus on today, is the teachings that Jesus gave his disciples and what he expected of his disciples that they did not quite catch on to. I'm sure that almost everybody here is familiar with this story about the sower and the various types, the four different types of soil, and also familiar with the seed. It says here that a sower went out to sow. And Jesus goes on to explain this, what it was. And we know that he scattered the seed here and there, and it fell on some on good ground, some on thorny ground, some on rocky ground, and some was eaten up by the birds or by the devil before it even had a chance to sprout or grow. And Jesus shares with all of the people this parable. And afterwards, and then he says at the end of the parable that the seed that fell on the good ground, that it grew and it yielded fruit that sprang up and it increased and it brought forth some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. It multiplied itself. Just as a farmer today would plant a kernel of wheat in the ground, you expect that wheat to grow and multiply, and on the head of the wheat stalk, there would be many grains of wheat. It multiplies. Okay? And Jesus is basically telling the people that this is the way things should be with those who accept my word, who accept the word that Jesus was teaching. And we're told in verse 10, when he was alone, now he was out in the ship, and evidently the crowds then were going to be sent away, and the 12 were there, and they asked him to explain the parable. Now it seems so obvious to us what that parable is about, because we've been taught it, and we've learned it even from our youth, and perhaps in Sunday school even. And I don't know how many times some of you older ones have heard this particular story. In fact, when you probably saw this and saw the title, The Parable of the Sower, the Soil, and the Seed, you probably said in your worst moment, oh no, not again. What can we get out of this time that we haven't got out of it in the past? Well, I hope that we can get something out of it in spite of being very familiar with the story and understanding the parable. But you have to understand that these were fishermen. They were not used to hearing Jesus speak in parables. They said unto him, and Jesus said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So Jesus is speaking to everybody in parables, but to his disciples, he is taking the time to explain to them what this parable is all about. And it's that conversation and those expectations of Jesus in this situation that I'd like to focus on today. You know the story, and you know the ground, and you know the seed, and you know the soil, etc. But I'm focusing on the relationship of Jesus and his disciples because they did not understand. Or maybe they had parts of it, but certainly not all of it. And Jesus said, unto you, the 12, unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's not for everybody. Well, it is for everybody, but under certain conditions, and we'll get into that in a moment. And then he quotes Isaiah, the 6th chapter there in verse 12, seeing they may see but not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted. Isaiah was to take a message to his people who would not listen. Kind of the opposite of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to take a message. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Jonah was afraid the Ninevites were going to repent, and he didn't want to see that because they were enemies of Israel. And Isaiah is supposed to take the message, and he's willing to go, but the people he's going to don't want to hear him. Isaiah is a prophet. He's going to preach repentance. He's going to preach about Israel coming back to the Lord. And God tells Isaiah, they're going to hear you, but they're not going to listen. And they're going to see you and understand what you're saying, but they're not going to pay attention. Why? Because their hearts are hardened, or they're disinterested, or they're drawn away by the things of this world, or the ground in which you are going to give them a message, the ground is just, it's thorny and stony, and it's just not going to take root. And Isaiah was told that's what would happen, and that's what did happen in his time. And we have the same sort of thing happening to Jesus, where he's quoting that and basically telling his disciples, these things are not going to be accepted by everybody who hears the word. Wherever the seed is scattered, think about scattering seed. I mean, that's taking it in your hands, not just throwing it. That's like taking the gospel and just sharing it or presenting it wherever. And it's not necessarily that the ground is prepared. It's not necessarily going to fall in the good spots. And you look at this example and you say to yourself, 3 out of 4 of the kinds of soil Jesus talks about are not giving any fruit. There's nothing to be gained in this. Now, we're told that God's word does not come back to him void, but the situation here where the seed is scattered, where Jesus is sowing the word in the world, few people are responding to it. And because of hardened hearts, and because of disinterest, and because, well, they followed probably because they were amused or curious. Who's he going to heal next? What's going to happen? We might get a free meal out of this on the mountainside. Wonder what he's going to do here at the seashore, and so forth. People were not often interested in the kinds of things that Jesus was really about. And Jesus says to you, to the disciples, to his followers, to you is the message of the mysteries of the kingdom of God that's going to be shared. And that's why Jesus taught in parables. A parable is basically a simple story that conveys a deeper truth. And the idea being that if you kind of understand the story, you'll kind of be able to understand the truth if you think about it, if you meditate upon it, if you are interested in what's being said. And we know that that was the case with some of the people, but certainly not all of the people who followed Jesus. And if we take the example here that's given, 3/4 of them would be stony ground, thorny ground. They would accept the message, but as soon as any kind of persecution or accusations came from them, came against them for being followers of Christ, they weren't. They would run. They would go in a different direction. That became most obvious when Jesus said, unless you eat of my body and partake of my blood, you will have nothing to do with me. And there were a lot of people who turned away at that because they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And they didn't accept what was going to be required of them. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples and says, if you can't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the things that I'm going to tell you in the future? If you can't understand the parable of the sower and that the word of God is being scattered in the world around us and different kinds of people whose hearts are in different conditions are going to respond differently to the gospel. And if you can't understand that the good ground, the seed gets planted, and the seed gets nourished, and the seed sprouts up, and the seed grows, and it develops, and eventually produces fruit. If you can't understand and accept that, how are you going to understand when I tell you that I have to go to the cross and die? How are you going to understand that in 3 days I will rebuild this temple that is torn down? And indeed, we have examples in Jesus' ministry where he's on his way to Jerusalem and he's telling his disciples, he's on his way basically to the garden after the Last Supper, and he's telling his disciples what's to take place, and they're not really paying attention. And they don't understand. And perhaps that's because they didn't understand many of the other things that Jesus taught them also. Perhaps they were distracted. Perhaps they didn't really think as deeply about these matters as they should have. We're not told, but we understand that there is a period of growth that was necessary for the disciples to participate in. Jesus separated out those who were his followers and disciples from those who just were interested in what he was going to do. What can you do for me, Lord? Kind of a mentality. Jesus was most interested and most concerned about teaching the gospel to those who would be responsible for propagating it. And those individuals were his disciples. And he goes on in detail to explain this parable. And he talks about the sower sowing the word. And by the wayside, those people who have heard, and Satan comes and takes away the word and so on. Jesus explains all this to them. And then he goes on to talk about a light under a bushel. That's kind of like, what's the transition there from sowing the seed, scattering the seed and sharing God's word in the world around them, and comparing it or going into the candle and being it put on a candlestick as opposed to being put under a bed or under a bushel? And Jesus is basically saying that those who follow him, those who are his disciples, those who want to learn, those who understand the parables, are also then to be lights in the world around them. That a candlestick, if it is doing its job, so to speak, it's not put under a bed. It is expected to give. It gives light. It clarifies things. It separates itself from the darkness and so on. And Jesus said there's nothing hid that won't be seen, and there's nothing that will be kept secret that it will come abroad. And if a man have ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus meant, look, if you are going to understand the parables, and if you are going to understand the kingdom of God, you need to listen. You need to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And one of those mysteries was that Jesus didn't just want followers. He just didn't want people to believe in him. We're told later in Scripture that even the devils believe and they tremble. And we have examples where, I think it's in the next chapter, where the man that was possessed by the demons, they recognized who Jesus was and asked him, have you come to persecute us? Have you come to take care of us prior to the time? And they want to go into the herd of pigs. And Jesus lets them go, and the pigs run into the sea, and all kinds of other things happen as a consequence of that event. So there were others, there were many who believed, but there were many fewer who followed. There were many people who heard, but didn't understand. Not because they couldn't, or not because they weren't called to understand, but because their heart was in such shape that they were not responsive to the call. They were not, quote, prepared, or preparing themselves for what Jesus was going to be teaching. And likewise, this business about having a light under the bushel and letting your light so shine, Matthew, I think it's the 5th chapter that talks about that, and the children memorized here a few months back, that was for the disciples, and that was a challenge for them, and it is a challenge for us even today. The parable of the growth of the seed. This parable, Mark is the only one who has this particular parable. And this parable is not now about the soil, but it's about the seed. It is about the word of God that is scattered abroad in the earth around us. In fact, Jesus, we can't jump into 26 without looking at 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, to him that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Jesus is saying, let your light so shine that men may see my works, that they may see the glory of God. Let your light shine. And he's also saying then in verse 25, the person who does that will have opportunities for that. And he or she will get more because of that sharing and letting their light shine. And for the person who doesn't have that, whose light doesn't shine and doesn't share and doesn't give to the world such that the world asks, what's with him or her? Why are they not doing this or doing that or going here or talking like we talk or engaging in the activities we engage in? Jesus says, from those people will be taken even that they have. In today's terms, we would say, use it or lose it. Use what God has given you for his service. Let your light shine. And share the gospel and spread the seed. Share it with others. Because if you don't use it and don't start some point, start using that and doing that, it'll be harder to do that later on. And whatever opportunities there might have been will be gone. And whatever growth could have taken place by practicing this, starting somewhere and saying something with God's blessing to share the word, to sow the seed, to be a light, become less and less effective at it. And I have a feeling that for many of us as Christians, especially as older ones, that's where we're at in some ways. Instead of having become better at doing those things because we know what Jesus taught and we learn the parables and we know that we are to be the light and we know that we're to sow the seed and we know what the Great Commission is. But not having done it, not just once or twice, but many times over a period of years, do we become nearly useless to the kingdom of God in regard to propagating the word. Well, that's a question that each of us will have to answer for ourselves. And at some point, we need to bear fruit. The good ground not only allows the seed to take root and it grows and we understand something about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They're not hidden, the scriptures of Jesus said. They're not secret. These are things that are open. But they're not going to be open to people who don't practice them. They're not going to be open to people who don't want to think about them. They're not going to be open to people who say, oh, well. Or they're just curious, or they want to see the latest miracle, or if God would send somebody back from the dead, then I would believe. No. No. God wants his children to bear fruit. That goes right along with that story. Read that verse that talks about the good soil and what the good soil, the plant not only grows, but it is also fruitful. And it says that some bears 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. I wouldn't want to put a percentage on my growth in that regard. And you probably wouldn't either. 30-fold? Is that 30%? It's even better than the 25% when we had four different types of ground and only one type of ground did the right, could do the right thing. Not everybody's going to accept God's word. It's given in Scripture. Does that mean, well, we need to be real selective about who we share the gospel with? No, not at all. I think just the opposite. The word was scattered. We're not talking about planting like the farmers did. And Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 28, I think it is, about how different sorts of grains and herbs are planted. Some things are planted in rows. We're all familiar with that. Corn is planted in rows. Wheat, oats are planted in rows. Other things like alfalfa and various hay type materials are just scattered. Okay, so there's different kind. And the way they are harvested are different, is different. And the way that they are separated, the grain from the chaff, the way that's done is different for different kinds of when things are harvested for different kinds of grains and so on. The same method is not used. And that's where we, especially I guess ministers, need to be aware of those kinds of things and recognize that there isn't one fit that will meet everybody's needs, that the seed is sown in different ways at different times depending upon the situation, the circumstances, or the people with whom we are dealing. Okay, what is the sum of all of this? What do we want to conclude from this? And I jotted down a few things that I would like us to focus on. If I can find it here in my notes. First of all, close communion with the Lord. Jesus, in this parable, Jesus at this point, when it came time for the disciples to ask their question and wanted to know, Jesus was very close to them. They were with him in the boat, I think, when this was taking place. And when the crowd went away and they started sailing off, and go into chapter 5 and you read about where they ended up going across the sea, they were in close communion with their Lord. In fact, we know that Jesus considered them family, just as his mother and just as his brothers. So close communion with the Lord would suggest that we are in a position to not only to learn, but also to grow, to understand, and hopefully to practice those things that Jesus taught. Another thought that flows from this is the fact that we need to be disciples of Jesus and not just followers. The disciples got the real stuff. They got the explanations. They got the answers to the mysteries from Jesus himself. They didn't have to interpret the parable. Now, Jesus wanted them to be able to do that. And there were probably people in the crowd who could do that too. But most of the people, we know that most of the people were just followers. They liked Jesus. He said the right things. He made them feel good. They were poor, and he identified with them. They were hungry, and he fed them. They were sick, and he healed them. They were paralyzed, and he brought legs and arms and hands back to their normal functions. But being a disciple of Jesus is what we need to be, and not just followers. Likewise, Jesus, in his explanation, said, you know, that these things are given to those who want to understand. There are people out there with hardened hearts. There are people who don't want to know. There are people who are just amused by this stuff. There are people who can cite Scripture to you, but they're not Christians. They don't live a life that is godly in any sense of the term. But we need to do as the disciples did and think about the things that we've been taught, to ponder, to meditate on what Jesus has said. That's a good way of learning something. And I'm not just talking about learning in terms of understanding it in our head, for even a child can understand this parable, even a young person. But it doesn't mean that because you understand it that you're following it or that you are practicing it. And that leads me to my next point. We need to practice those things that Jesus taught. We need to practice the fact that if we consider ourselves good soil, we not only grow ourselves, but there comes a point where fruit is expected. Expected. It is a part of the process. It's not something, oh, it'd be kind of nice to have it. I mean, what farmer would plant stuff in his ground, on his farm, and not expect a return on it? I mean, there isn't a one who would do that. There isn't a one who would care if the weeds would choke out his wheat or his corn or whatever else is being planted. Jesus cares. Jesus expects fruit. We are to practice what we are taught, or we will lose the ability, the talent, the opportunity. We will become blind to seeing opportunities where we could and should be sharing the gospel with others, where we should be a light in the world around us, where we should be doing a good deed or saying a kind word to somebody. We are to be a light so people can see. Recognize that some of the people we talk to are going to be just like the people in the parable. They're not going to listen. The ground is going to be pretty rocky. You're going to feel pretty bad that you blew it, didn't say the right thing, wondered why it wasn't accepted. Lord, I'm trying to do my best, and look what happens. Didn't have any impact, didn't have any effect. In fact, it might have even made things worse in your relationship with them. That's not because of you. May not even because of what you said. It's because their heart and their relationship with the Lord is not where it should be. That they are not prepared to respond to the gospel. They're not interested. They're seeking other things in this world. The deceitfulness of riches that Jesus said. They are following other lusts that they enjoy. They are not interested. Now, is that your problem? Or my problem? No. We should try to do what we can to get people interested. But you know, that leads to the next parable about the seed itself, the growth of the seed. How does the seed grow? So is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise the next day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. We don't know how that saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ converts a person's heart, saves him from their sins and from their sins. We don't know how that word does it. Just as we don't understand what happens when a seed is planted. I mean, it's planted. The farmer did his part. We've done our part. What happens from there on is up to that individual. God has done his part too. If you reach out to God, God will reach out to you. Now, Isaiah talks about it in another place. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. He will accept and he will do his part. But people have to respond and do theirs. And most don't. And most won't, because of the hardness of their hearts. Because of all of these other distractions. Because of even the work of Satan in causing things to be far from the kingdom of God, that their thoughts would not be in the right direction. Recognize that there will be rocky ground, that there will be thorny ground. Recognize that Satan will try to counter not only the person that you might be talking to, but Satan will even put doubts in your own mind. What did I say that was wrong? How have I offended this person? Da, 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 and on you go. The good ground. We do not know the hearts of people. And so our job is to share it, to give it, to be the light. And God will provide the increase if and when there is to be an increase. Jesus says here, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. There will be a time when there is the harvest, when the kingdom of God is complete. And that's in the mustard seed parable, where it starts out, you know, Jesus starting out the kingdom of God here upon this earth in a very real way and very different from what the Jewish people had thought at the time in regard to their Messiah. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? And he says it's compared to a mustard seed. It's sown in the earth. It's less than all of the seeds of the earth. But when it's grown, and when it's sown, it becomes greater than all of the rest. And that's how the kingdom of God is. It starts out small, but it grows. But the seed has to be planted. The seed has to be scattered. The word has to be shared. And Jesus was kind of amazed that his disciples didn't understand the parable. And they were the ones that were selected to understand that. He knew that he wouldn't make any headway with the Pharisees and the scribes and those people with their hardened hearts and their traditions of men. But he expected growth. He expected understanding from his people. Jesus used these parables. Many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. And we're probably not even told all of the parables that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And we're told in verse 34, without a parable, he spake not unto them, but when they were alone, he expounded things to his disciples. Those were not things that were shared with everybody, because everybody wasn't interested. Everybody wouldn't understand. He shared it with those who were closest to him, with those who would practice it, with those who, after his death, resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts, and Peter's sermon and all of those things, as they then got the power to spread the word, that's to whom these parables were expounded. So they knew and they would understand, some of which came after his death and resurrection instead of before. We have the privilege of knowing all of that after the fact. It's already happened. There are no mysteries in that part. Oh, we don't know exactly the details of how that happened, but we certainly know enough of the basics to share that with others. The chapter ends with the calming of the storm. I will not go into that. You're also familiar with this, but the final comment that Jesus makes in regard, why are ye fearful? Have you no faith? Have you no faith? Have you no faith that I am in charge and I will take care of the things? And they were amazed at Jesus, that he had control not only over, you know, that he could heal diseases and that he could help people in their physical realm, but he also had power over creation. They were amazed that he even controlled the wind and the sea. What manner of man was this, they said, that even creation obeys the Lord? I've got a few questions on the sheet. What kind of soil in the parable best represents you? What kind of soil best represents me? There probably isn't one of us here who doesn't think I'm good soil. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you yourself. Think that you are good soil. And you are, if you're responding to the Word of God. And the proof of the good soil is not just in personal growth and personally following Jesus, but it's also bearing fruit. That is expected. That will come as the seed grows. Also, am I a light to the world around me? Am I a believer or a disciple or a follower of Jesus? And those are questions that each of us needs to answer. And I venture to say that there are some here who are indeed good ground, but others of us are stony ground, we're thorny ground, we are may have accepted the Lord in our hearts at some point at camp or somewhere at some time, at the end of, you know, some emotional service or what have you, but you know, Satan came in and convinced us otherwise. I'd like to just quote 2 Corinthians 9:10, where the Apostle Paul is talking to his people, to the Corinthians, and talked about he that ministereth seed to the sower. God is the one who gives the seed. God is the one who gives to the sower the seed that is to be planted. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We are not left on our own, and we are not expected to find this seed. God will provide all that is needed at those times when the seed is scattered and we have the opportunity to show somebody the